So I wanna remember. You might remember last week. Angel and Becky weren't here. We listened to a word by Bill Johnson, and something just stuck in me after he shared. And it was peculiar. He was actually talking about. He referenced these two studies. So I just want to remind you of what they were. One of them was, and he didn't cite them. I actually went and found them this week. Like, I wanted to hear more about them. One was this study out of TCU, Texas Christian University, the science and engineering department. And in their study, they found out that it takes about 400 repetitions for a new synapse to be built in your brain. 400 repetitions before, it's like muscle memory. Mm-hmm. My body, I know what to do with this. 400. Here's the cool thing they found out. Unless that activity is done in play, and it takes 10 to 20. 10 to 20 repetitions. I went on, to me it's like, you can easily think about the child approaching this, right? And like, well, what makes it harder for old people to learn things? Whereas, you ever hear, and Angel and Becky probably know this, like, better than anybody, like,
old people.
Like, it's a whole lot easier for a kid to learn, like, I've got a niece who maybe is like two and is speaking both Spanish and English. Got this big. Mom's Spanish, by the way. There's a capacity, and this study found out it's like attitude is everything. And we have this, and part of this thing about learning, what does play do for us? Why is it easier? It's like, I don't feel constrained. I can get out of the box, so to speak. I have this ability to kind of think ahead of the problem. I'm not constrained. Well, I know the answer, therefore, right? Answers, our understanding of the answer here, gets in the way of solving the problem. Isn't that interesting? All right, here's the other one. It was a study out of Cornell University, and it was talking about the positive affect. This one, it was a bunch of doctors, and they had it was actually a bunch of doctor students, and then they took it to the workplace and did the study with what they call hardened doctors. They were between the ages of 30 and 70, I think it was, and they. Basically, they broke the doctors up into two groups, and in the one group, and they're diagnosing a complex problem, the doctors are, in the problem, they're giving bad data. They're actually given a misdiagnosis by another doctor. Okay,
got it. False symptoms.
False symptoms, mm-hmm. and a conclusion by another doctor. And then in the one group of doctors, they gave a bag of candy. I think it said like M&Ms or Hershey Kisses or something like that. And a card said, thank you. Just want to thank you for helping us in this study we're doing. Literally, that was it. The other group, they give journals, medical journals. Here, this will help you solve the
research.
Problem. Research. You can get ready to solve the problem. And they found out that the group that got the candy, they solved the problem twice as fast. What they found out in the other group, what they ended up calling the unhappy group, okay, that they were slower and more often than not just agreed with the misdiagnosis.
Right, the first group, happy in play, diagnosed it more correctly.
Said they were creative actually, right? Anyway, you can think about that however you want, but it got me wondering, even like this morning in worship, right? So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is here, right? The kingdom of God is here now. And so we've got this privilege, this freedom to connect with this kingdom realm, let's call it. This heavenly realm right now. Then we go, now our big brains get in the way. Okay? Our brains get in the way of connecting with the kingdoms or kingdom realm, right? You could say there's this wisdom that confounds the wise. By the way, that's what got in the way of the Pharisees, right? Mm. They were cynics. They were arrogant. They were
wise.
I should air quote that. Wise. They were know-it-alls. Okay? But this thing about connecting with heaven, connecting, what's God saying, right? There's this perception. It requires a very different way of thinking, of approaching, of that says we're open to this, that we're teachable for this. I'm receptive to this. Here's what Jesus said when the disciples are having this conversation about God's talking about heaven, and they start talking about who's the greatest in this kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 18 says it this way. I read out of the Passion Translation, 18 verse 3. Jesus says, learn this well. We should be paying attention. Learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you'll never be able to enter in. You're never gonna get it. This is always gonna be elusive to you, right?
Whispering in your ear.
Yeah. Mm. Say that again.
So you won't have somebody whispering in your ear.
Right. It's like there's this, I want to when Darla said, what's God saying to you? I was saying, I'm a know-it-all. By the way, scientist, engineer, we're know-it-alls. We like formulas. I like explainable things. I like repeatable things. I like to be able to demonstrate this and, right? And then all of a sudden God comes and says, yeah, you're not going to get that. And you're like, ugh. You know what I do with that stuff? Put it outside my God box. I'm going to keep in my God box all those things that I understand, all those things that I can explain, right? So this thing about how do we step into this new relationship, this new encounter with God, where I can receive from Him? I can receive the whispering, that revelation from Him, right? Jesus, and we've talked about this. Jesus is like, well, you want to know how to do it? Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the model. Jesus, you want to know? Put on your Jesus glasses. What is Jesus doing? How's He connecting? and just do what He does. Because what you see is like all of a sudden, you hang out with Jesus. I'm like, wow, He's experiencing life. He's experiencing freedom. He's experiencing revelation. He looks satisfied. Oh, by the way, He looks happy. But we have this grown-up way of thinking. Sure, it just gets in the way, right? So we have to learn to think entirely differently, right? Because that's a powerful point, Danny. A closed heart gets nothing from God. Mm. You go, ooh, never heard that before. Mm. Closed heart gets nothing from God, right? An open heart, all of a sudden, He's showing me a thought. I'm hearing a sound. I might be perceiving a color. Hey, pay attention to your smells. What am I smelling? We've done this, right? We've like, all of a sudden, maybe I'm just paying attention to Eric. Mm-hmm. He's talking, he's sharing something that's powerful, and I, all of a sudden I'm like, I'm hearing him. I hear what he's saying. There's words, but some, you can hear words all day, all of a sudden you go, oh, I hear what you're saying. You ever done that with your spouse, maybe, or a friend? I hear what you're saying, right? This is why religious leaders in Jesus' day didn't understand, because I'm not interested in what you have to say. I got it, okay? We were watching this movie yesterday. It's a fun movie. It was called Now You See Me. It's about a bunch of magicians, okay? It was very entertaining, a movie we were watching. And in the movie, there's this scene where this one, see, you know, kind of like pivotal guy, he was given this card on it, and it said fool. And another card said dreamer, another one said joker, you know, and his reaction to this over, you know, it had this card, was like, this is ridiculous, this is nonsense, because what does that even mean? It means I'm worthless. And he's in China in this magician shop, and this old lady says, oh, that is an amazing card right there. That means so much. And he's like, it means what? It says I'm a fool. She says, no, it means at this point you have limitless potential to become anything. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Limitless potential to become anything, right? We can leave behind traditions. We can leave behind, this is how we do things. This is what's understandable. And all of a sudden, I've got a myriad of conclusions that can be reached. Right? Our adult thinking, people would say, when we talk about heaven, they go, that's foolish. They would say, that's foolish thinking that God would do all these things through you. I want you to get this right now. Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. I have limitless potential.
Come on,
look at all the conclusions that God can do right now, because I'm not in the way. God can do anything with this situation right here, right? I was going to show you this picture. Oh, I didn't get it ready. You think it? Oh,
we do it later.
Okay, I'll show you at lunch. And it was because I was thinking, it's a picture, and you look at the picture, and I'll show you. I think I've got one of a dog and of a baby, and you're going to go, oh, that's a baby. And then when we zoom in on the picture, you realize the picture of that baby is made up of thousands and thousands of other pictures, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We're content usually to go, oh, that's a baby. Problem solved. I've identified the thing, this here. And then we zoom in closer, and heaven goes, hold on, there's more. I'm going to show you a sample picture at lunchtime, right? But to have this wide-eyed wonder, to have this like, wow, this, yep, I'm a fool. Yay. It's like, there's this sense of, there's a vulnerability that comes with that. Because, all those other scientists and engineers that you work with, Danny, what are they thinking about you? All of a sudden, they get a vote, I think. And so I feel maybe a little weaker, maybe a little smaller, maybe a little less creative. How's that for a word? A little less risky here. Now you start going back to that study of it takes 400 repetitions. What's happened? Because I got to convince myself. 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 But in play, it's like, whoa, that was cool. I got out of the way. Right?
Yeah.
So Jesus says this realm. Where is it? Sometimes our bad teaching was, well, when you die, you get to go hang out there. That is not what Scripture says. That's not the totality of what Scripture says. Scripture says you're actually going to hang out in that place right now. And guess what? When you die, all those things that got in the way of the more, all those things that inhibited you from seeing yourself one in Him, all that goes away. Now there's like this explode. It's like the color of the wheel just got bigger, right? So Jesus says, this realm, it's all around you. This thing we're talking about, connecting, experiencing, participating in, Jesus says, it's all around you. He says this in Luke 17. Now people will say, look, here it is. Or see, it's there. For we hold the kingdom of God, he says, it's right here. It's in you. It's in your hearts. It's among you. It's surrounding you. And it's as accessible as, and it's as tangible as like you experienced in worship today. Where I felt him. I felt like, hey, there, maybe we need to raise the dead today. I felt like, it's like, right? So there's this thing, there's something tangible here, and you got to get out of the way of trying to figure it all out and just go, wow, God, you're so cool. Let's just do more of this, right? There was this guy, remember this song? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Right? That's what's, right? We're just like, man, if I could, what would it look like to connect with heaven's realm? What do my dreams look like? What does my hope look like? There was this guy, I saw him speak one time at Bethel, Bob Jones. He was radical.
Oh yeah.
Right? I remember people saying, Bob Jones goes to heaven like people go to Walmart. It was just like, oh yeah. But he was so in tune with that, and I can remember thinking, being awed by it, perplexed by it, and wondering, well, how do you get that? Yeah, I remember it's like the coolest thing, but it's like, then I realized it's like, you know, that Justin sang it in worship this morning. I don't remember it being in our words about being created for worship. And you realize it's like, isn't there a scripture that talks about eternity written on our hearts? Something like that. Am I making that up? No, I have to go find it. Somebody will, maybe we'll find it today. We were created. We have our very DNA resonates with the sound of heaven. The pulse, the heartbeat of heaven, right? The aroma of heaven. We were created that way. So there's a reason why in worship you go, oh, I mean, you're, because something here is waking up, right? It's not something, it's, oh, here's something new. No, you're literally waking up to being who you are. God says, this is who you are. And one of the coolest things, if you go read in both Ephesians and Philippians, you realize these letters to the churches are really just telling them, you not only are you created to be there, you're designed to experience this, you breathe and your heart pulses like this, but you're there right now. And he tells us, like, you're right now in heavenly places. Right now you're seated with him, and you're like, wow. And I was thinking about this rest thing even in worship again this morning. It's like, do I need to experience, you know, the thing I was getting to was in, you know, Hebrews talks about rest, right? In the early part of like Hebrews 4, 5, 6, we're about entering into rest.
There remains still a rest.
There remains a rest. Mm. I think it's talking about, I have to go back and hang out on it some more, but it's like, you know, you want a break from the psychotic world? You want a break from the news cycle? You want a break from politicians? You want a break from nonsense in the economy and your bills? You want to, it's like, are you anxious? Are you worried? It's like Hebrews says, there remains a place for you to enter in, a place of rest, where you can experience that rescue from that nonsense. Hebrews, they were like, I don't get it. And they kept really trying to carry a lot of their old into the new. They kept trying to carry a lot of baggage, a lot of tradition. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, leave that there. Let's, right? Come in and walk in this way. And in Hebrews 4, it says, hey, right now, just don't harden your hearts. Listen. Hebrews 4 says, don't harden your hearts. You want to hear my voice? Don't harden your hearts. And then he goes on in Hebrews 11 and says, what's Hebrews 11? The faith chapter, right? So what's happening in this, about this place of rest? What's that got to do with faith? And I'll stop at this thought, and you can hang on it. And then I'll read the first three verses of Hebrews 11 out of the mirror. Danny's thought is the role of grace in our life. Grace reveals, his grace reveals your identity. I don't think I'm worthwhile. I don't think I'm amount to much. I think I'm kind of like a schmuck. I feel ashamed. I feel guilty. And grace says, hey, God has an opinion of you. Father has thoughts about you. They're not what you're thinking. And grace, his grace, like, we begin to, like, it peels back the lies. The power of his grace is it, like, shame falls off, guilt falls, and all of a sudden we begin to see. Here's who I am. Here's what he says about me, right? And faith.
That is a marvelous moment.
And by the way, it's moments.
Right.
Because the enemy comes in and lies to you again.
Right.
You were doing great, and all of a sudden you start to believe a lie again. You pick things back up. And so yeah, his grace begins to, like, his grace is so amazing. You're never disqualified from it. You're stupid. Never disqualified. Your failures never disqualify you. His grace is constantly moving to unveil, here's who you are in me. And our faith is, oh, wow, this is who I am. So my faith says, then I'm going to walk in this. My faith says, well, how do you talk? Then I'm going to talk that way. My faith says, how do I approach the sick man? I'm going to approach him that way. My faith says, this is what you do with that confusion or that chaos. I'm going to approach that confusion and chaos that way, right? So my faith is, what am I doing? Here's my identity. I'm going to start hanging out in it. I'm going to think this way. I'm going to act this way. I've got some behaviors I'm going to start practicing, right, that line up with my identity that grace revealed. Okay? That's faith. So I'll close with this. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, with that thought about grace and faith and your identity. Okay? Reading out of the mirror. Persuasion confirms this confident expectation, and it proves the unseen world to be more real than the seen.
Say that again.
Persuasion confirms confident expectation and proves that the unseen world to be more real than the seen. Faith celebrates as certain what hope visualizes as future. Come on, right? Verse 2, people of the previous generations, they received the testimony of their hope in faith. It was faith that made their hope tangible. Faith alone explains what's not apparent to the natural eye. How the ages were perfectly framed by the word of God. Now we understand that everything visible has its origins in the invisible. <Woo-hoo-hoo>! All right, let's just say we won encounters this week.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
Right, so yes. Right now, we just close. Holy Spirit, wow. Thank you for worship. Thank you for loving us so much in worship today. That our hearts stirred. Man, we just felt connected with you, alive with you. So now, God, it's like we're jealous. We want more. So we ask for more, Holy Spirit. Just pour out heaven into our bedrooms.
Yes, Lord.
This week, God, as we rest on our pillows, we pray for perfect sleep. Complete sleep,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Without yes. Torment sleep, mm-hmm. Healing sleep, mm-hmm. In our bodies, recovering sleep of energy. But God, we ask for more dreams, visions, your word, your voice, God, the whisper in the night season. God, and when we wake up in the morning, when we just enjoying looking at sunrise. God, we're having our coffee. God, come and speak. God, come drop a word in our hearts. Drop a thought in our mind. God, maybe it comes in a phone call. Maybe it's in an email message that day. But God, we're attentive to what you're doing. So Holy Spirit, just more in Jesus' name. God, that there's a burning inside of us that connects us with you. So just God, turn up the flames this week inside our hearts. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen.